Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is season 5, episode 100 and something. I'll be honest with you, I've not checked. It's 107, the episode today, and we're studying, continuing our study today in Matthew chapter 21 to 23, Mark 11, Luke 19 to 20 and John 12, in the week of May the 15th. To May the 21st. And today we are going to continue our study looking at how Jesus condemns hypocrisy. Now, it's interesting. When you look at the ministry of the Saviour, Jesus Christ, there is many words of love, many words of comfort, many words of patience. When you think of people like the woman who was caught in adultery, or you think of Zacchaeus, just mentioned there, or you think of, in our last study session, obviously we missed yesterday, just had to sort out a couple of illnesses at home, so I wasn't able to sit and record it. But you think of kind of people, and all the parables, of course, that we studied last week about reaching out to the one and ministering to the one who'd gone astray, like in the lost sheep or the prodigal son. The Saviour has much time for supporting and uplifting and helping those who have gone astray, those who are struggling, those who are just, you know, lost in what they need to do. But then when we have chapters like this, Matthew 23, and he speaks about people who are also lost in a certain way, like the scribes and the Pharisees, but they are lost in a different way. They are lost because of how they are hypocrites, of how they are. They state that they are doing all the right things, but really that they are completely gone astray in the way in which they worship. He has much stronger words to use against these people. And so this is where we have to be careful as members of the church, where, you know, we have the gospel, we have the covenants that the Lord has provided to keep us close to him. If we are, you know, pronouncing that we are doing these things and yet in our hearts or in our actions are just going willfully rebelling, then we need to really check ourselves, because this may be something which may be a challenge to overcome. The Saviour has strong words in this chapter about the Pharisees, and he says in verse 4, "For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments." Now, just to give a bit of context here, as I'm sure many of you will know, the phylacteries made mention of here in the Jewish custom, one of the things which is related to a section in Exodus, and it's in Exodus, it's actually in Exodus 13 verse 9 and 16, it says, "And it shall be for a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth, for with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of the hand of the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." And even today, well, certainly at that time, leading to today, the idea was that there was a small scroll of the Lord's word put into a small box, and then this was to be placed upon the forehead in between the eyes and on the hand of someone who was worshipping. But of course, people like the Pharisees and scribes did not feel that they should have the same phylacteries as the, for want of a better word, the common people who were not, you know, scribes or Pharisees or those who are responsible for the law. But they enlarged the phylacteries, they made theirs bigger so that it was more obvious that who they were, what status they had. And it's this type of kind of putting forward oneself, as the focal point of how to live, that is very, very dangerous. It's not even like someone who is trying to make right choices but is struggling and needs to repent often. This isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who puts forward themselves and says to look at them, or says to, you know, that they are always right. They are making the right choices all the time, and so that people need to look to them as an example. Whereas when they don't have their heart set upon the Lord at all. So that's what kind of enlarging or making broad their phylacteries means. And then enlarging the borders of their garments, again, very similar thing. So, you know, there was often prayer garments that were worn during worship services or things like that. And again, this idea that instead of having the same garments or kind of covering as everyone else, they made theirs different. They made theirs larger. They made theirs different in design so that it was more obvious who they were and what status they had in the worship congregation, if you like, so that people would look to them and say, oh, look, it's one of the Pharisees or it's one of those people. We need to, you know, pay attention to what they say and respect what they say, rather than being dressed or kind of adorned with the same thing as everyone else. It makes me think straight away of the temple and how, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what status you have, what job you have, what family you have, what calling you have. It doesn't matter what you have achieved in life when you go to the temple, apart from that you are striving to live the covenants or live the things that are listed in the temple recommend. Because then at that point, you enter the temple and you wear the same things as everybody else. And I think it's just a beautiful image, a beautiful symbol that we are all equal, ultimately, in the eyes of the Lord. Yes, we all may have different jobs or different callings or different things that we have in our lives that set us different from other people. But when we go into the temple, all those things are left at the door and we all become children. Well, we are all children of our Heavenly Father, but we are all equal in His eyes. He is no respecter of persons, and He desires all of us to come to the temple, to the house of the Lord, and to be able to worship and to be able to be sanctified. You know, the Saviour goes on for a whole chapter. I say whole chapter, obviously it wasn't a chapter as such when He said it, but it's been put into one chapter. And He talks about the woes that are going to be placed upon them. For example, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. He says, basically, you know, because you won't go into heaven, you want to stop other people from going in. And that's attributing them to kind of Satan's role, ultimately, which I think is, again, strong, but it's a powerful message. In verse 15, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. It's a really interesting statement, this. And it made me kind of think, well, what is the Saviour saying here? Is it because the Pharisees purposefully lead people away from God? Or do they truly, you know, seek to convert people, but then they take no care for the new converts, they don't support them, they don't bring them to, you know, where they need to be, so that they are worse off than before, because of course they've been taught the true principles of what they need to learn of the law, but then they don't live the spirit behind it, so they don't change them or help them to learn how to change spiritually. You know, there's just so much here. Verse 28, even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It is just a huge pronouncement against the Pharisees. And of course, you know, this is leading up to or is part of the Saviour's ministry in Jerusalem after his triumphal entry. And it's whether the Saviour knows that, you know, his time is coming and he needs to kind of share these words before he is removed from the congregation, from the people, or whether it's because, you know, he just feels guided by the Spirit that he needs to say these words, we don't know. Of course, this is we are going to study the triumphal entry tomorrow in a bit more detail, but I'm just following the order in which the Come Follow Me manual has these things. But it's just an interesting kind of thing to reflect on and things to think about ourselves. And of course, you know, we think about the Pharisees and think about how foolish they were, but let's reflect on how this applies to us and how we need to be aware that or be aware of the potential of hypocrisy that we have in our lives as well. Thank you so much for studying with us today. Thanks for listening, and until we meet again.